changed the title. We're going to be on the same thing we started last week. Last week, the title was Walking in the Light. And I changed the title because I try to, number one, be led, which God don't always give me the title of something. He'll give me the message, and kind of like I pick the title. And so I called it Walking in the Light, but the more I get into this and the more that I see, I try to make it the main focus of what he's saying and whatever that message is, right? So I changed it this morning. It's called Doers of the Word. And this is going to be part two. So if you go on the website, let's do it. It's changed on there too. And I was going to tell y'all, I was just spending time with the Lord this week and, you know, thinking and talking and all that stuff. And he spoke something to me, and I'm going to share it with y'all because that helped me, and I believe it'll help y'all. As far as I can remember, I've never heard anybody say this, but I'm sure they probably have. And I may have even heard it before and forgot about it. But meditation brings illumination. Thank y'all for all the excitement. See, illumination is what? Light. And the title was Walking in the Light. We changed the title to Doers of the Word. But meditation brings illumination. Why? Because he said, walk in the light as he is in the light. As you take his word and you meditate on it, in case you don't know what meditation is, if you've ever worried, you know exactly what meditation is. Except worry is meditation or thinking down the lines of the wrong thing. Meditation of the word is thinking down lines of scripture or even a scripture. And how many knows the entrance of his word brings light? So when you meditate on his word, it will illumine your thinking. And you will begin to see, not with these eyes, but with your inward eyes. Now, we're going to recap just a little bit, and then I'm going to have to move on to what I believe the Lord wants us in today. So if you got your Bible, let's look at 1 John 1:1. Let me say this right quick. Y'all remember, and I know some of you weren't here, so no, you don't remember probably. But anyway, the title was Sower Sows the Word for 7 months. 3 weeks out of every month, because Monty teaches the last Sunday of the month. So 3 weeks of every month for 7 months, God had us on the Sower Sows the Word. Why? Because he said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any of the rest of it? Because they're in, Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8. It is like that is the granddaddy parable of them all. Right? So in light of that, in thinking of that, he said, this is the way of the kingdom. This is the way the entire kingdom operates, remember? And we had to not be forgetful hearers in that, but we actually had to be doers of the word. We had to hear the word, receive the word, keep the word, right? Something has happened in the church. I mean, overhaul. Not everybody, not every person, and not every church. But we live in a day and age of information. And in that information, if we're not careful, it causes us to hear the word and be like, woo, that was good preaching. I'm telling you, our little pastor, he just preached a blessing message this morning. Well, what was it? Well, I don't remember, but I remember it was good. Can I say nothing? See, you can't be a doer of the word if you don't even remember the word that you heard. So the day and age that we live in of information, we've got TVs, we've got radios, we've got phones, we've got Google, we've got Siri. So you can just move on to the next thing. We got Facebook. If you're not interested in me, I'm telling you, this thumb right here is stronger than this one. Why? I Facebook with this one. So I'm not just talking to y'all. If I'm not saying Facebook is bad. But if we're not careful, that just flipping, that's not interesting, I'll read half of that, move on. We can bring that over into the church, and how many knows, that cannot be. We cannot allow that to happen. I mean, there's people, you know, they take notes at church, and that's good. We should take notes. But the thing, what do you do with those notes? Do they lay in your notebook here at church, and you just forget about them? Or do you actually take them home with you, the scriptures, and you study them, and you remember them, and you meditate on them? Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just telling you, you cannot forget the word that you hear. Why? Because you actually have to become a doer of the word. And you cannot do something that you just forgot all about. And how many knows there's times you are deeper in the spirit than at other times? And And I'm not talking about just walking in the flesh. There's times that I'll be spending time with the Lord, or I'll be meditating on the Word, just like that meditation brings illumination. I was actually meditating, talking to the Lord when He gave me that, you know. So that means I actually have to do that, right? And when you're in that situation, you're more in the Spirit than I am. A lot of times, if I'm just cleaning house, washing clothes, going to the grocery, y'all know what I'm saying. So therefore, sometimes you got to write it down, and you got to go back, and you got to read it, and you got to study it. Why? You got to stick with the Word that you hear if you're actually going to get the results of the Word. Now, here in 1 John chapter 1, anytime you go to church, you got homework. Every time you go to church, you have homework. You see, the majority of Christians, they don't want to hear that. They just want to come in the door. I'm going to go to church to get my blessing. Well, what about you going to give one, number one? Oh, gosh, this is how it's going to go, is it? Not my message, but anyway, God loves us, right? There's people, they get up, they go to church. They're not faithful to any church. If they're going to go, they get up and try to be led which one to go to when He told you in 1946, and you ain't got no more light about it because you ain't never went to the one He told you to start with. I mean, those light is progressive. Why? The Word is alive. It is. It's not just you learn the Word and that's it. How many of y'all ever had a revelation of the Word in some area or whatever, just only to a little time go by that you're walking in that, you're doing that, and you get a little more revelation about the same revelation? Those are the sweetest to me. Why? Because they're deeper and they're higher. So when you go to church, you're not just going there to get your blessing. Number one, we're going to hear the Word, to be in the service, to bring something to the table. I'm not saying you got to be a pastor or a teacher. No, just when you come in the doors, be ready. Be prayed up. Be in a right spirit. Have your faith turned on, expecting to hear from God. And if He prompts you, add something into the service, whether it's prayer for somebody or whether it's just your faith, right? So we don't go to church just to go to church. And we don't go to church just to check the box to say that we went to have our good merits in, we think, or whatever, or even to make ourselves feel good. There's some people, they like to hear the Word. They really do. They go to church every Sunday, but they never do one thing that they hear. Therefore, they never change. Now, first scripture, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and with our hands have handled, notice, of the Word of life. That's important. When you read your Bible, pay attention to words. They're very important. Because if you're just reading your chapter to get done with your chapter so you can check the box, you're not going to get a whole lot out of it. He goes on, he says, for the life, talking about the life of Christ, was manifested. The word manifested means revealed. He is the God that reveals secrets. He says, for the life was manifested or revealed, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, talking about Christ, which was with the Father. We know John 1, right? Jesus was the Word. The Word became flesh. He was with God and all that. And was manifested or revealed unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy... Oh, are you serious? Joy. The Bible says you have joy in all believing, right? He says, joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. We know from the book of Revelation, in heaven there will be no lights there. God is the light, right? And in Him is no darkness at all. This right here, just this, would clear up a lot of people's problems. Well, God put this sickness and disease on you to teach you something. No, no, no. Sickness and disease is not of light, is it? Was sickness and disease in the garden before mankind sinned? No, therefore it cannot be of God. Therefore God cannot be putting this on me to teach me something. Why? He's light and in Him is no darkness. Let me say this too. I get this while I meditate this week. When I say the word darkness, what do you think about? We read the scripture in Ephesians. You don't got to answer that. I'm just trying to get you to think about something. In Ephesians 6, the scripture that we read last week about how that the rulers of the darkness of this world, darkness is a world system. Darkness is thinking patterns. Y'all not saying nothing. See, when I say darkness, a lot of times people just think of this room would be dark, and you turn on the light, and the darkness goes, and there's light. And that is so, but also, how many knows the Bible says once we get born again, it says our life is transformed, how? Romans 12:2. By the renewing of my mind. Why? Because, see, my spirit got born again, but my soul, which is my mind, my will, my emotions, did not. Now, therefore, when I get born again and the life of Him, of Christ, comes in, which is the light of all men, right? We have no light outside of Him. It begins to touch my thought life. But how many knows? Then I got to take the Word. Why? The Word is light. The light is the life of Christ in everybody that's born again. That's how come I don't care if you're a good person according to the world. You do good deeds and bake your neighbor pies, you know, and do good things or whatever. You do not have the light. You cannot be the light. Why? Because the light is the life of Christ that comes on the inside of you. But the way we live our life and become doers of the Word causes that light to shine. Now, it says here that God is light and in Him is no darkness. I'll be the first one to tell you I still have darkness in some of my thinking. The reason why I would say that, any place I'm not free and getting the results of the Word, I'm walking in darkness. Why? Because the Word is true. The Word cannot lie. There is, God is not a man that He should lie, the Bible says. So therefore, He says, the entrance of His Word brings light, right? Okay, you hear the Word. Jesus told him over there, He said, talking to, I believe it was the Jews, He told him, He said, you shall know if you continue in my Word. See what a lot of people, they just bypass that word, continue. Words are important. He says, if you continue in my Word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? Make you free. So if I'm not free in an area, or I'm not having the results that the Word says that I will have, I'm either not a doer of the Word, and I'm walking in darkness, and the Bible says I'm deceiving my own self. Right? So this right here, just this word, would clear up a lot of things for a lot of Christians. That God, His light in Him is no darkness. Poverty is of darkness. When I look at the Garden of Eden, you know what I read in there? All different kinds of trees and herbs and fruits and vegetables. An abundance. Right? An abundance. I mean, you got two people on the planet to eat all of this. He's a God of not lack, but of abundance, right? Jesus said in what? John 10:10, the thief cometh not except but to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life and just enough. No, abundant life. And that don't just mean in my, that means in every area of my life. I want life and light in my thinking. Because if I can change my thinking, I can change my doing. But if I don't change my thinking, ain't much going to change in my doing. Now here he goes on and he says, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. No, let me go back to six. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. It seems like he's changing subjects in a minute, but he's not. And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, in other words, if we walk in the revelation that we have, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, Beth, you don't have to turn over since it's one verse. Put up on the screen James 4:17, please, and this will be the Amplified Version. So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, what is it? So sin is a violation, we could say, of light. Why? Light, truth, revelation, come to me, and I knew it. Y'all not saying nothing. See, a lot of people, they like to play games, but you can't play games with God. He knows what you know, and he knows what you don't. So therefore, sin, he's talking about sin here, a violation of light or the revelation or what I know to be the right thing according to God's word, and I don't do it, then it becomes sin to me, right? Okay. Just trying to recap a little bit. We won't take the time to turn to this one because it's just the one verse here. Psalm 119:130, please, Beth. He says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, this is the Amplified Version. The entrance and unfolding of your words. I said light is progressive, right? Unfolding would be progressive. The entrance and unfolding of your words gives light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. Psalm 36:9, please. It says, for with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. For with you, this is Amplified, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. In yourself, you see nothing. I cry, can I stand there? How much did you see of light before you got born again? You thought you seen a lot. Thought you had it all going on, right? Thought you knew what you was doing until your life, a lot of us, came to destruction. And then when you cry out and get born again, it's like, oh, why have I waited so long? Right? So in his light, and as we fellowship with him, as we hear his word, and we actually do his word, we get more light. Because in the light of him, we see light and we get more light. Now, since this one, just these two, we won't put this on the screen, Beth. Luke 2, verse 30 through 32. This is Amplified Version. It says, for with my own eyes I have seen your salvation. Now, this is where Jesus was a baby and they brought him to the temple. And the guy was holding him, and then he started saying this. He says, for with my own eyes have I seen your salvation, which you have ordained and prepared before in the presence of all people. A light for what? Revelation. That's why I say light is revelation. Revelation is light. He says, a light, talking about Jesus the Christ, for revelation to the Gentiles, to disclose what was before unknown, and to bring praise and honor and glory excuse me, to your people Israel. Now, John 1:4, please, Beth. That's the way the King James Version. In him was life. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about the Word, right? Y'all remember that? I'm trying to do just one where because this is a recap from last week. In him was life, talking about Christ, and the life was what? The light of men. The life, when you got born again, the Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Christ dwells in your hearts by faith, right? So that tells me when I got born again, his life came on the inside of me. And that life, when it comes in there, it begins to shine a light. The day you get born again, if you get around anybody, they usually, listen to me, especially the worst person you was, and you get born again, and then somebody see you the next day, and they're like, something happened to you. They may not know what, but what's happening? That life is shining a light out. Now look at Matthew 5:14. It says, you are the light of the world. Talking about every person that's been born again. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And I mean, we have heard that. Sometimes when you hear things and hear things and hear things, it's just like, I got it. I got it. But you ain't got it till you're living it. He says, ye are the light of the world. You are. Why? The world is darkness. They live in darkness. Satan is their father, right? According to Scripture. Until you get born, the Bible says once we get born again, he says we have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son, right? He says you once were sometimes darkness, but you get born again. He says now are you light and children of the light, the Bible says, right? So the darkness of the world is sitting in darkness. And it's our job to go and live the life of Christ according to this word and the leading of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of the life that you get, and it shines to them, saying, this is the way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. That's why we're supposed to do it. But see, it's how I do the revelation is going to be dependent on the amount that the light shines and the anointing that removes the burden and destroys the yokes that I carry or that you carry, whoever. I don't mean just me, right? So now, Psalm 119:105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So this right here tells the word of God is so very important. Without it, I can't see where to go. I don't know how to go. I don't know where to go. This is where another part comes into the verse that we just got through reading. His word is a lamp unto the way that I'm supposed to walk and a light that illuminates my path so far, right, as I walk in it. But then as my light is shining and people see my good works, God is glorified, they get born again, my life or your life, whoever, as I'm walking is shining a light to their path, saying this is the way, right? This is all recapping. We ain't got you there yet. All right, James chapter 1. I know this is a little fast, and I'm sorry, but I got to get to where I need to go. My microphone's not cutting out, is it? I never could tell, but I'm back on this one because Travis has a thing about germs. So I get my own microphone here, but if it starts cutting out, let me know. We'll have to switch back. But here in James chapter 1, verse 19. Now we're going to try to slow this down, because all that right there was just about recap. We're going to try to slow this down, because I noticed something about God. I didn't notice it till on into this week. Sunday, God gave us a complete breakdown, condensed, to start down a line of thinking. Now, we're going to go back, and he's going to start breaking it down, kind of like sower sows the word. So I don't know how long we'll be on this. Y'all coming back, right? See, y'all remember whenever we was on that sower sows the word, three sermons a month about it for 7 months? Some people got tired of hearing that. I know it wasn't none of y'all. It's some internet people, I know. Facebook plan, right? Why? You can't let yourself get tired of hearing something. Why? If God's still saying it, you better be sticking with it, because there's something there. You ain't got it yet. You just don't have it yet. That's it. Like this. If you're in faith about a subject, say you're in faith about your finances or marriage, for an example. Just say marriage. Let me say, good grief, I feel like I need to slow down here. But it's like I'm so full, I can't put the lid on this thing. Just like this, for an example. Marriage. Take marriage for an example. If I don't know. My marriage was a wreck. There have been numerous adulteries on both sides. I got married when I was 14 years old. I don't know nothing about being no wife. I don't know nothing about being no daughter-in-law, sister-in-law. I don't know nothing. I mean, I'm barely out of diapers. I mean, seriously. I'm 14 and Scotty's 18. I meet him when I'm 13. He's 17 and we date till we get married August of 85. And so what do you do? Whatever, you very well please. Why, there ain't nobody reeling over you long as you don't get caught. Y'all not saying nothing. So we have a lot of stuff and fight like cats and dogs. Because I have this mentality of, I don't really know what the word would be. I'll just put it this way, and I don't mean you when I say this. I'm just, this is the way it was. Either I'm going to whoop you because you ain't going to whoop me. I grew up, I spent some time in the projects, and when we lived in the projects, I'm telling you, ever so many months, it was like there was this one girl in the neighborhood, and she run everything. But she don't run me. I'm about 12, she's about 16. And she don't like that. So she tells these other girls stories about me, so they'll get upset and come down there and whoop me. And if they can whoop me, then she's going to come whoop me. Y'all not saying nothing. So how many knows when you live like that, you best not be no candy because you'll be getting a whooping every day. So lo and behold, here comes this one girl, you know, and I whoop her sister. And then here comes this other girl, and I whoop her. And then here comes this other girl, new to the neighborhood down there, saying, so-and-so told me you called me a word or whatever. I said, well, I didn't. Anyway, we got it all straightened out. Now, I say all that to get you in the thinking that I have. Then I get married at 14 years old, and I marry a very, very demonically jealous man that abuses me physically and verbally. Now, he never hit me with his fist. I'm talking about we fight like brother and sister. We wrestle. We slap. We pull hair. We break stuff. Like a brother and sister little kid. You know, kind of like Aubrey and Aiden, just on an escalated level. So I have this kind of mentality that I go with for a long time. And I forgot now why I was telling y'all that this story. Y'all remember? Sometimes I get on a story and it gets too long and then I forget the point of it. Anyway, I know that, but what? Now, if y'all was following me, y'all should know, shouldn't you? Oh, well, maybe we'll come back to it. I forgot now where I was at. Y'all remember where we was at? Oh, yeah, James 1. I ain't even got over yet. James chapter 1, verse 19. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Let me read this in the Amplified. I'm not going to do both of time's sake. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener. We need to be practicing that. And I'll be the first to tell you, I need work. I know, I'm the only one, right? Anyway, he says, slow to speak, slow to take offense and to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive, notice what it says, and welcome the word which implanted, these are key, implanted and rooted. Y'all remember over there in the parable, right? The sower sows the word. You had to get that, hear that word, receive that word, and let that word grow roots. Same thing here. In your hearts contains the power to save your souls. He says, but be doers of the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the word. I remember now. Ah, oh, the Holy Ghost is good. I remember now. Now, just that part right there. I told you the mentality that I had, the thinking that I had. I had this, I'm not going to get back on that. I had that kind of thinking. In other words, fight, physically fight. No matter what it is, this is the way I solve my problems. Is physically fight. Cuss you out, I do whatever I got to do to solve the problem. Y'all get where I'm going with this. Okay, how many knows when you come over into the kingdom of God, that mentality don't work? And that usually is not something that is going to come out overnight or because you got born again. Why? It is a range of thinking patterns steeped in darkness. How can I call it darkness? Because it's not of God. God is light. Is that lightful thinking patterns that I'm going to whoop you? No. Scotty punched three hoes. We got into it one time, and I had this little red car. They call it the red tomato. Anyway, took a knife and punched three holes in my tires because I was going to leave them where I'm at. So I got the baseball bat, and I busted out his front window, his side window, and his back window of his truck. I don't say that pridefully. I'm trying to help you to see that. Okay, that's the way things was, and that's the way things was up until we got born again. Then we get born again, and that doesn't all stop. It gets better, but it doesn't all stop. Well, why does it not? One, that takes a little bit of time. And two, I'm not a doer of the word in every situation. See, when I hear people and they say, oh, I got it, I do it, I'm like, you ain't got it yet. Reason being, you got to do it every time. See, just like for an example, say you get a revelation about your finances that God wants you blessed. Or you get a revelation about tithing, how that if you're a tither, that God will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, pour you out a blessing. You get that. Okay, I got it. I got it. You're excited about it. Faith is there. You've welcomed the word. Joy comes. Now you got to keep it. So what's going to happen? You're walking along. Woo, this is so good, you know. God, you're going to rebuke the devourer, you know, and you're going to do all this stuff. And then lo and behold, you get an unexpected bill, or you don't get to work as many hours that week as you thought you was, and you start worrying. Y'all not saying nothing. What happened? The opportunity came. See, you're not a doer of the word when you hear it. You're a doer of the word when you actually boots on the ground doing it. And that's the only time that you're going to get the results of the word. And I remember now why I was saying that a while ago. Marriage, for example. I don't know anybody that had one worse than ours and had been through some of the things that we had been through. Probably have, but anyway, that's just the way that it was. So we are jacked up from the floor up about marriage when we get born again, because I have a dominating personality, in case y'all have not noticed. I try to hold it back. I'm not indecision about any. I got an opinion and a decision about my stuff, your stuff, your mama's stuff, and everybody else's. I try to keep it to myself, but sometimes it does get out there. So anyway, our marriage is just messed up. Well, lo and behold, the first thing that God begins to do after we get born again and we're in church for a little while, our church starts having these classes with the little workbooks and everything, and it's called How to Be the Wife of a Happy Husband. Now, I'm still waiting on how to be the husband of a happy wife. But anyway, we're not on that one. And lo and behold, what does God do? Starts teaching me how to be a wife. Why? I don't know how. My mama was a wife, but I still didn't learn how to be a godly wife. How many knows there's a difference in a godly wife and a natural, unborn again wife? So, and he doesn't know how to be a husband. So what does God do? God starts bringing the word. I start doing my little workbook. First thing that I learn is I'm not supposed to run my house. Painful for me, D. Why? Because I think Scotty's dumb as dirt, and I know what I'm doing. Number one, he don't work half the time, and it's not because he's lazy. He just don't like authority, and if he wants to go fishing, well, he just did that. So we don't have any money, and the poor man, if he gets any money, he wouldn't dare pay a bill because we got to smoke some dope or drink some beer or go do something and sit in the dark. Well, I would smoke dope, whatever, and pay my life. Whatever. So this is the way that we're living. And so the first thing God begins to do to me and begin to show me is I'm supposed to submit to my own husband as unto the Lord. And every woman, every wife said, amen. Every wife said, amen. You got to be a doer of the word. Now, I'm a woman, I can say this, and I know how much it pains me. I'm telling you, my flesh, the thinking that I used to have, why, if I did that, he would just walk all over me like a doormat, and I have the thought, ain't nobody going to walk on me. Any walking around here to be my boots does the walking. Y'all know the song? Anyway. So God has to start breaking down this darkness mentality that I have. Why? Because even though I'm born again, that part of my light can't shine. Why? Because his life ain't living in that area. So therefore, being that way, everybody I come in contact with, I can tell them all day long what the scripture says about marriage, but there's no anointing on it, and there's nothing showing them the way. Why? Because that life, I'm not living it. I'm not a doer of the word. So if I'm going to get a good marriage, number one, God tells me, I'm not talking to you, me, start right here. Get that kind of thinking out. You're supposed to be humble, not hard and harsh. How many knows humility is full of submission? Because submission is, I don't agree with you, but I submit myself to your authority. Right? God, we are getting hotter and hotter. So for me, that if I'm going to have a good marriage, and God wants me to have a good marriage, right? Of course he does. His word is full of it. He would that we prosper in every area and be in health, right? As our, what? Mind, will, and emotion prospers. So I got to get Romans 12:2 at work in my marriage. So I've got to start submitting to my husband as unto the Lord. Now listen to what I said. Submission is not that I agree with you. Agreement is, oh, good, Monty, we agree. Yay, that's good. Submission is, I don't believe and like one thing you say, but I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. Oh, ladies, listen, y'all really need to perk up. I'm telling you good news this morning. It will help you. Why? Because the word always brings light, and if you'll do it, it'll change things. Well, for Scotty, he don't love me right. He thinks he loves me before he gets saved, but he don't love me. He obsesses and possesses me. And it's not just against men. I can't see my mama. I can't see my sister. He mopped my sister's head with dog puke mop one night because he don't want my sister around. Why? Because I care for my sister. But he thinks he loves me, Johnny. God, we're so messed up. But anyway, then here comes God, and what's he do for Scotty? Y'all heard the stories. I'm not telling y'all nothing new. Goes in there, you know. I don't eat sweets as much as I used to, but I mean, I used to, them little brownies with the little colored sprinkles. Oh, I'd die to go to heaven. Eat a box of them every couple of days. And sometimes it don't take a couple of days, you know. That back during this time, I don't eat them now. I'm delivered, hallelujah. Therefore, I don't even get started on them again. I'm not going to fight that battle. But anyway, and he would go to work, you know, and I didn't pack his lunch or anything like that. And so he would take a snack cake or just whatever, because he wasn't a big eater anyway. I mean, used to, he didn't hardly eat anything. He wore a size 28 pants. Anyway, God begins to deal with him, that scripture over there in Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives, how? As Christ loved the church. He don't know how to do that. But when that come to him, when he seen that in the word, in his heart, he said, okay, God, I'm going to do that. But his first thoughts was I can't do that. She'll take advantage of me. Darkness thinking. That's not light thinking. That's darkness. That's the same thinking pattern we've had all these years. Now the word's got to come in and illuminate my path, and I got to make the choice to walk it, to do what the word says. So lo and behold, y'all heard the story. He goes in there, going to get him a snack cake, and there's one. And he knows I really have an obsession about these things, so he's going to leave it for me. Now, I'm not telling you if you do that, that's where it's going. It's whatever the Lord is telling you, how you love your wife as Christ loved the church. For some men, it may be a totally different thing. Why? Because your woman ain't me. So then he begins to leave that kind of stuff. Now he's become a doer of the word. Now our marriage is beginning to change. Because now he's beginning to do the word. See, there's people, they want to counsel. Nothing wrong with counsel, don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about godly counsel. About their marriage or about their finances. I mean, and we've done it all to a certain degree with some. And they want a marriage counsel. First thing usually I tell them is, okay, I want both of y'all to go home, read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and do it. And then come back. Think of ways that you can incorporate 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 in your marriage. Do it. You know how many times I've come back, had them come back the next week or 2 weeks or whatever? I say, okay, did y'all read that and do the word? Well, we read it, but we can't figure out it. Our life is just even getting worse. Y'all not saying nothing. Remember what James said. See, we like to think a lot of times we got something if we can quote the verse. You are not doing anything by quoting it, right? When I say the scripture, wives submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord, have I done anything yet? No. But see, my flesh would like to say, oh, yeah, yeah, I know that verse. And yeah, yeah, you know, what is it? Love thinks no evil. Love thinks the best of every person. You know, love is not touchy. It's not fretful. It's not resentful. So if you're being touchy, fretful, and resentful, you're not walking in the love of God. So therefore, your life is not changing. See, if you're going to change your marriage, you got to do what the word says about marriage. You got to get it. You got to eat it. You got to stay with it. And every time that opportunity comes up for Scotty to love me as Christ loved the church, he's got to do it. Because see, you can't do it today and then when a situation arises tomorrow, not do it. And then go and do it the next week and then you don't do it. You're not a doer of the word. And people get kind of schizophrenic and they can't figure out, why is my life not changing? Your life is not changing, honey, or my life, whoever, because you're not actually doing the word. You know it. You've heard it. You can quote it. You see it. It's not darkness. It's illuminated. You got light. You can see it. But you are not doing it. And until I do whatever area the word is, whatever it's saying, until I do it, my life won't change. My marriage won't change. My finances won't change. See, there's people, they hear about tithing, and they want the rewards of tithing, of what the Bible says, right? It has rewards to it. He rebuked the devourer, pour you out a blessing, all this stuff. He says, prove me and everything. And this is what a lot of them do. Not everybody, but a lot of them do. Yep, that's a good word, and I'm going to do that, God. I'm going to do that. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to be a tither. Then, lo and behold, you didn't have enough money left this week. Y'all not saying nothing. And I don't do it. But I know I got light. I know, right? For me to know and not do right, what I know to do is right, what? Sin. Well, the next week's coming. I'm going to do it, God. I'm so sorry. I repent of that. I'm so sorry. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a tither. Well, how many knows? Something else is going to come up. Car's going to break down. Washer's going to go out. Kids need it. Whatever the case may be. Why? Number one, you have to exercise doing the word by faith. And when you hear the word and you get light, there is enough inspiration and faith in that word that you heard to do. Why? Because God doesn't just say words and things to communicate something. His word does something, right? He come out and he said, light be, and light was. If God says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, there is enough faith and power in that word to do that word, right? So then when I don't tithe, and I mean, people go for years like that. Well, when my kids gets out of college, you know, and I'm saving for this. I really want to be a doer of the word. I really want to be a tither, but I just can't right now. But then they go years down the road and their finances get worse and worse and worse. And they sit in church week after week after week hearing their answer. But because they're not a doer, they don't get the promise. And they self-deceive themselves, and then they'll begin to say, the word doesn't work because my life has not changed. In studying this, I have seen more just in my own inside. I'm like, God, this thing is way, way bigger than what I thought it was when we first started. And you think about your own life. Just like me and Scotty, we heard the word about tithing. Now, he was the first one to get light about giving. I wasn't a big giver or anything because we needed. So my mentality was still darkness, poverty, thinking, I need, I can't give, I need somebody to give to me, I can't. And lo and behold, Scotty gets a revelation of Luke 6:38 and others where it says, I believe it's in Proverbs, the liberal soul shall be made fat. There is that scatters yet increases. I mean, a lot of scriptures. He got light in those. What I mean? Revelation knowledge, and he began to be a doer of that word, becoming a giver. Now, lo and behold, it took me a little time, and then I got it, and we began to live a lifestyle of that, a lifestyle of being a tither and giver and loving our neighbor and forgiving people when they do us wrong. See, everything in my life is connected. I can't just take out one little part. Every part of my life is connected to every part of my life. My financial life is connected to my love walk. You know what I'm saying? Faith works by love, right? Well, then, lo and behold, it's took years, and I'm convinced, Johnny, we could be further than what we are because we know we did not just jump and do every time we heard. Sometimes it took a little while. Sometimes I didn't hear it the first few times. Sometimes I heard it, and then I couldn't see how I could do it or whatever. But anyway, lo and behold, we became tithers. We became givers and all that. And Sandy, all this time, that word's been working. That word has been working us closer to what he promised in his word over there. I believe it's Romans 13 where he says, oh, no man nothing except to love him. We live in that word today. But the only reason why we live in that word today is because God was good, gracious, merciful, and loving and kindness, brought us the word, showed us the light, and may have took a little while, but we made the decision to be a doer of that word. And I'm telling you, the results of that word is blessing. Now, we still got a lot of bills because Scotty owns his own business. I mean, we got 5 vehicles, and the insurance got to be on every one of those vehicles. And the more stuff you get, the more stuff you got to pay out, right? But, I mean, it's good. If I want to just go give somebody $1,000, I can. If God tells me to pay off somebody's house, I can. But see, the devil in our flesh wants to keep us living down here where I want to be a tither. I want to do something for somebody, but I can't. So therefore, when you hear the word, do the word, and the result of the word will come. And then as you're doing that, you get more light on that life that you got. Right? It becomes illuminating. I've got to stop because our time is up. I hate to be on something and just stop right there, but y'all coming back, right? I figured you was. All right. Any questions or comments?